Praise the Lord. If you need a move in your life today, a move in your family, God is still God and He is still moving. And just believing that victory is ours. Amen. Father, we thank you for this word that you have given today to minister on and to bring to the people. That we have ears to hear, Lord, what you would say to us today and be encouraged by this word. Amen. I want to do a message today on a very familiar passage of scripture that we quote a lot. I don't think I have ever ministered on it before, but been saying it a lot lately, so I started looking into it. And so we're going to kind of take it apart today and see what some truth that we can find in it, okay? So turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 54. We're going to be reading verse 17 in the King James Version, and then I want to read it in the Amplified Version also. Isaiah 54, 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper or prevail, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousnesses of me, saith the Lord. An Amplified Version reads, but no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment you shall show to be in the wrong. This peace, righteousness, security, triumph over opposition is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Those in whom the ideal servant of the Lord is reproduced. This is the righteousness or the vindication which they shall obtain from me. This is that which I impart to them as their justification, says the Lord. Now we know that this scripture here was written to Israel at that time, but it's also a promise to all of us that belong to God. Galatians 3:29 tells us, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. So this word is not just for Israel, but it's for us as the church today. Amen. And the word reads that this is the heritage or the inheritance of the servants of the Lord. What is the heritage that he's talking about? He's talking about two things here. He's saying that no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And the second thing he says, every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall condemn. So he said, these are the two things that are the heritage of the servants of the Lord. So, you know, it should be no surprise to us as children of God that we're going to face the weapons of the evil one while we are on this journey called life. And even Jesus told us in John 16:33, he says, in me you're going to have perfect peace and confidence. But he said, in the world, you're going to have tribulations, trials, distress, and frustration. Then he goes on to say, but be of good cheer. Take courage, be confident, certain, and undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived its power, I have deprived it of power to harm you and to conquer you. So Jesus says, as long as you're in this world, you're going to have tribulations, trials, and distresses. You're going to have the weapons of the enemy that's going to come against you and your family. But he said, in the midst of that, be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Be certain. Because he said, I've already overcome it for you. I've deprived its power to harm you and or for it to conquer you. That's why that we can be of good cheer, because no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Why? Because it's been deprived already of its power to conquer us. Now, tribulation. Any of you all felt like this lately or in times past? Tribulation, the meaning of tribulation is pressure, oppression, stress, anguish, adversity, affliction. It's a crushing, squashing, squeezing, and distress. It sounds like that anxiety thing that we talked about a few weeks ago. And it goes on to say it's putting a lot of pressure on that which is free. See, the devil does not like for you to know the truth that you are free to be who God has declared you to be. who we are because of who he is. According to Ephesians chapter 1, we're not just barely free, but the word tells us that we are abundantly free. What are we free from? All the misdeeds that was chalked up against us, according to Ephesians. But we're also abundantly free to live life as Jesus has declared us that can be ours on this earth. That we need help on the way, that we are called to live a life of grace and in grace, and to be happy and to prosper and to be in health. Those are the things that was given to us as our salvation. So the enemy tries to keep us as sons and daughters of God from the knowledge of what you received at salvation. And when a child of God begins to really get that truth and allow it to become a rhema word for us, and gets really into our spirit of who we are because of who he is, as I said one time, we can be a force that's reckoned with, amen? We can be a force to the kingdom of darkness when we once begin to know who we are and the power and the authority that's been given us to walk in the earth now. So that knowledge becomes a power to us that we can employ against the devil and his agents. This is the heritage or the inheritance of the servants of the Lord. As I said before, there's two of them. No weapon formed against us. Every tongue that rises, we're going to show to be in the wrong. We're going to show to be in the wrong by condemning that word. Amen. Heritage means, so what is heritage or inheritance? Heritage means something possessed through a birthright. One who has become an heir in what is contained within that inheritance. Ephesians 1:11 tells us, through our union with Christ, we too have been claimed by God as his own inheritance. And God does not call you his son. He also calls you an heir through Christ. Galatians 4:7 tells us that we're no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you an heir, also an heir. And because we're his, we can access everything our Father has, for we are heirs of God through Jesus the Messiah. We have a great inheritance. You know, we think, well, we're saved, we're going to heaven. What more could of inheritance we want? But we have a life that we're living in this earth right now. And part of that inheritance is the authority that has been given to us as believers to walk this life in freedom that was given to us at our salvation. And we've been set free through the blood of Jesus to experience our rightful inheritance, to experience it now. Galatians 12:3 tells us, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us, who has made us right in him to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Romans 8:17 tells us that you are joint heirs with Christ. And as a joint heir with Christ, we inherit everything that he has and is. The enemy cannot remove us from our position as sons of God, but that has been secured and established in the blood of Jesus. So what does he want to do? He uses weapons against us to discourage us to the point that we don't live up to or begin to activate that what we are in God and in the inheritance we have been given and the authority through the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus. It's like if someone put you in their will and they're saying, this is your inheritance, this is what I want to leave to you. It can sit in the bank until you go on to be with Jesus. And you'll never be able to participate or grab a hold of that and enjoy that inheritance that was left to you. So, no weapon formed. Foreign meaning devised or fashioned. The enemy knows your life. And the agents he sends out is to destroy you and to take from you. And a weapon means anything used or designed to be used in destroying, defeating, or injuring. So no weapon formed against you will not prosper, will not prevail, will not succeed at reaching its intended purpose. What's its intended purpose? To destroy you, to defeat you, to injure you as a child of God, to cause you to go through limping through life. You know, just go through limping through life. Isaiah 54:17 does not say that there would be no weapons formed against us. There would be no there would not be weapons planned against us, because if it wasn't, the word would not have went on to say that this is your heritage, that the weapons that are not going to reach its intended purpose. So we have challenges and we face attacks in life as Christians. And as we go through life and the weapons that are thrown at us, we do get hit sometimes. And sometimes it knocks us down. Sometimes it knocks the breath out of us. But we have to get back up and we have to breathe again. We have to live again. We have to get our joy back again and begin to remember what was given to us at our salvation. So, you know, when those darts are thrown at us and those weapons are thrown at us, and when we do get hit, when we do fall down and lose our breath sometimes, and that's when the enemy wants to come in. That's when the whispers and the lies of the enemy comes in. If God said, why are you in this health crisis? If God said, why are you depressed? And if God says, why are you broke? If God said, why the divorce? If God said, why? And if I begin to give into that and begin to ask why, because I've seen a lot of people asking why all of this virus and all of this stuff is going on. All I know is God's a good God, the devil is a bad devil, and we win. Amen. And I notice in my life, when I have began to question the why, I open the door to confusion. Because I began to have so many questions in my mind when I began to ask the why. So what will discourage us, though, is accepting those lies as a truth. Is accepting those lies as a truth. Then what happens is, when we do begin to accept that lie as a truth, we begin living life out of a spirit of discouragement, instead of a spirit of an overcomer. Instead of a spirit that says we are the sons of God and we stand, hallelujah, in that position of victory. The 1 Peter 5:8 tells us, be sober-minded. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. You know, once you have that knowledge of the word and that knowledge of who you are, you know, that's, the enemy is prowling around seeking for that one that doesn't know the word, that hasn't got into the truth of that word, and to say, this is my inheritance, this is what I stand on. And he says, resist him, standing firm in the faith. Now, being sober-minded is when you're not under the influence of any outside forces that would want to control your mind to the point you cannot think or act rationally. When you're under the influence of something, you are not yourself. You are acting out of another area, another spirit. It says, be watchful. Don't allow the influences of the world to take you down to their level of thinking or believing or acting. As a church, as a body of believers, as sons and daughters of God, what is our reaction when things come along in our life and the weapons are thrown at us? He said, don't get down to the level of how the world is thinking and what should be done about this or that. Don't get down on that level. Don't begin to operate out of a spirit of fear, of anxiety and discouragement. Be aware. The word tells us, as a person thinks, so is he. Be aware, have knowledge of the enemy, that he has come to steal, kill, and defeat. It doesn't mean that you walk around trying to find a demon behind every door or doorknob. But we are to be aware of the enemy's tactics and that weapons are thrown at us in this life. And the weapons that comes to wants to destroy us is to kill our dreams, to kill our happiness, to kill our joy, to steal our health, our peace, and all of those things. Every weapon that was devised against Jesus did not prosper, so will it be with us. And I forgot to put this in my notes, but I was big call back to remembrance when Jesus was on the mountain, the enemy come to him and he began to say, if you are the Son of God, do this. If you are, you know, and so he went through the whole scenario with him. And what did Jesus do? He threw the word back at him. He continually threw the word back at him. We learn how Jesus did it so we can what? Follow the example that he set forth. If this is the way Jesus did it, then maybe this is the way that I should do it. Because he found victory every time. Amen. We learn how Jesus did it, so we follow the example that Jesus set forth. Isaiah 54:17 tells us that we condemn. That's the second promise of this scripture. One is, no weapon formed against us prospers. No ifs, and, or whys about it. And the second promise is that we condemn every evil tongue that rises up against us in judgment. It did not say that God is going to condemn it for you. He already has. We have to enforce what he has already said in the earth. The Bible, like I said, the Bible did not say every tongue that rises against you in judgment to pass false judgment against you, God will condemn. It says you shall condemn. You do not overcome the weapons of the devil with a closed mouth. We have to, as you know, if you heard me say several times in the last few weeks, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So what is your say-so? What is your say-so? Make sure it's scripture. Make sure it's the word. Make sure it's the truth found between the pages of your Bible. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Life and death are what? Are in the power of the tongue. The definition of judgment is the final part of a court case. The devil and his agents have been brought to court. The verdict is in, and he lost. He lost. He just doesn't want to admit his loss. And that's why he continually throws those fiery weapons. He will continue to do so as long as we have breath in this body. But as sons and daughters of God, we have to rise up, claim our inheritance, know our authority, and begin to speak forth the will of God, which is his word. Which is his word. So it is your heritage. It's your inheritance to condemn tongues that rise up against you. And you know what happens when you do that? All heaven will back you up. All heaven will back you up. When you begin to use the authority that is given to you as a son of God, and you begin to stand up on the truth of that word, hallelujah, God is saying up there, you go. Jesus is saying up there saying, you go, daughter of God. You go, son of God. You speak the word. Angels are being dispatched to back up what you're saying. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness, the end of that scripture says, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. We are firmly secured because of Jesus' finished work on the cross. And the righteousness is of me. I have put them in right relationship with me. They are in right standing with me. Man could not do it, but I did. And you know, there are benefits of being in a relationship. There are benefits of being in a relationship with God. You know, he said, I will take care of you. I will not allow you to be destroyed. Amen. Just believe me. Just believe me. Ephesians tells us, God himself said, I will not in any way fail you. I will give up on you. I will leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any way, degree, leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you. I surely will not. Why? Because he said that you are in right standing in me, and it's not your behavior, It's not your behavior that has cost it. It's not your behavior that's going to cost me to turn my back on you. You know, it's not even your behavior when you stand up and you begin to decree and declare the word of God. It's not your behavior that's going to cause it to come to pass. It's you speaking forth that word. Because if it was based on our behavior, all of us would be in trouble. Because ain't none of us arrived yet. And may we always have a spirit, a teachable spirit that says, I can learn more. You know, I can do more of what the word says and receive more of what the word is saying at the moment. So we always must pray, Lord, let me have a teachable spirit. And remember, it's not our behavior because of you in me that the weapons will not prevail against you. If it was based on our behavior, the enemy would have took us out. If it had been based on our behavior, we'd have done been out of here. He would have knocked us out. God himself sees the times we're discouraged. He sees the times we're afraid. He sees the times that we're doubtful. He sees the times when we do ask why. He sees the times that we say, but God, amen. So this is really short today, but I hope you get this message that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And you're the one that condemns. The enemy comes in with the whispers of lies today that says it can't be when God says it can be. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we come to you today in the mighty name of Jesus. That name that's bigger than death, disease, affliction, or infliction of the enemy. That name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. That name that's above cancer. That name that's above doubt. That name, hallelujah, above oppression and depression. That name that's against every unbelief in Jesus' name. Because of who you are, we come boldly into the throne room today, God. And Lord, we're just knowing that we don't have to bear it because you have already bore it. And we, to keep Satan from getting the advantage over us, we are being made aware and taking notice and not ignorant of the devil's intentions. Today, Lord, today we stand up on your word. Today we stand up on the truth of your word that's immovable, that's settled, that's a done deal, it's finished. And in the position of victory as sons of God and using our rightful inheritance as sons of God. We condemn every tongue that is passed in judgment of violence, of unrest, of any nature against our families. Just receive that right now in the name of Jesus. We condemn it in the name of Jesus. We cancel and condemn the accompanying spirit of fear that has brought unrest in our nation. That has brought so much unrest in our nation. We come against that spirit in the name of Jesus. Only God has the final say-so. And we speak the peace of God over this nation, over your families, in Jesus' name. And as your body of believers, we rise up today and we say that we refuse fear. We refuse fear to overtake us. We refuse anxiety to be part of our lives, God. We receive your love today just to pour out a fresh revelation of your love upon us today, Father. We condemn every tongue that is passing the judgment of violence or of unrest of any nature against our country. We every tongue that is passing the judgment of violence or unrest of any nature against our president. We condemn the lying tongue of the enemy that wants to say that United States is going down. We're not going down, but we're going over. Anything that is hidden in darkness will be brought to light in the political arena in the name of Jesus. Because your truth will prevail, God. And we, the church, will not be silenced. We will not be silenced. We will not give in to fear. We will arise as a voice of one still shouting out, Jesus is Lord. And the good news of the gospel will be preached unto all the nations. Every ear will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. I just speak God's blessings over your family. I just speak God's provision. I just speak God's joy to enter into your home. Hallelujah. And into your life. And for you to get just a fresh revelation of who you are in him because of him. Hallelujah. A fresh revelation of us being heirs with and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Be blessed and have a great week in Jesus' name. Amen.